Hey everybody, I'm Joe. I have 25 years of dog training experience, and I am excited to share my knowledge and talk dogs. Let's get going.
Hey everybody, this is Rebecca with Dog Training 360, and I'm super psyched to talk every week with Joe, have great conversations, and talk everything dogs.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Dog Training 360. Rebecca here and I are going to be talking about distance control. And it's not really something that we think about that we need necessarily because we don't always want our dogs away from us. And so it's not really a skill that we think about in the training journey with our dogs. But I have found it to be one of the most valuable things being that I am an off-leash enthusiast and I really don't like leash stuff. So if I can have that type of obedience that my dogs are listening to me, but they still get to be free and adventurous with me, then that makes me feel really good. So off-leash distance control is something that can be very, very challenging to get. And I'm going to have Rebecca talk a little bit more in depth about what really this entails, and then we'll get into some of the nitty-gritties with it.
Well, I'll give you an example. So I have been living in Costa Rica with my two dogs, and I'm sure if you've been listening, you are well aware of that. And we go to the beach a lot in Costa Rica, and my German Shepherd just loves to run, and she's got a great recall, mm-hmm. and she's a very connected dog, so she doesn't run far, but her favorite thing to do is chase birds, and there are lots of birds, and so she has a great time. There are also occasionally some either stray or dogs that are not connected to humans on the beach. It's not super common at the beach we go to, but occasionally it happens. And I just don't really care to have her, either of my dogs, but she's the most often one I'm at the beach with, to have her interact with them, because why?
You know,
I don't know if they're vaccinated, but also like, why get in a scuffle, or, you know, just let's move along and, and not deal with this. And so one of the best scenarios, she was chasing birds and, you know, a little bit away from me, and there was a dog at the tree line that she saw, and I saw the dog as well, and I was able to put her in a down. She was far away from me, like, I don't know, 100 yards or something.
Yeah.
Like, definitely farther than, like, I couldn't grab her. I couldn't get her. If she had decided to go for that dog, I couldn't have intervened and helped her. And so I just put her in a down. And she was able to continue to watch the dog. So she felt safe.
Yeah.
I wasn't recalling her to me and having her turn her back on the dog. It was such a conditioned response that as soon as I told her to down, she dropped and went down. And then the other dog actually just left because there was nothing happening. So the other dog actually turned and left. And I recall, you know, that enough sort of time and moments had passed that Mocha was no longer in the let me chase the dog mode.
Yeah.
And so I just called her back to me.
Yeah.
She came right back to me and we moved along and went the opposite direction. And it was really cool. Like I know she's got a good down and I know she's got a good down from a distance, but that scenario, I was just like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I've done the same thing for, you know, squirrels or other, you know, animals that I didn't want the dogs to chase. I can do the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
Just get them into a down and they can.
Yeah.
Then I can either go get them.
Right.
If I don't feel like the recall is going to be exactly successful, I can just walk over to them and put a leash on them or pick the little guy Oxford up.
Yeah.
So it's a super fun thing to do, but it's also a really safe thing to have for a dog that you're going to have off leash out in the wild.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit more about some of this distance stuff as it relates to feeling safe. Mm-hmm. You and Anne and Oxford were in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And Oxford, being the terrier and the curious terrier that he is, went adventuring, not out of sight, but, you know, it was, he was curious and there were things happening. So I'll let you kind of continue the story from there, and we'll talk about that safe feeling and what that recall and down and distant stuff in that picture looks like.
Yeah, that's a, it's a great story.
And yeah.
If you guys have been listening along, we've talked about that in our recall podcast. The scenario was in Mexico on a beach, Oxford. We didn't have Mocha the German Shepherd with us. It was just Oxford, the Border Terrier, and we were running on the beach, and there was the beach with water to our left and a swampy sort of lowlands grassy area to the right,
mm-hmm.
over a dune, and Anne, my wife, and Oxford were sort of running along the dune because Oxford loves to use his nose, and the grass and the duney kind of smell was much more interesting to him. So they were up there, and this whole verse one, but then ultimately probably 15, this giant pack of these raccoon-like animals that are in that area of the world called pazotes, all came up from the dune, out of the swamp, and were sort of surrounding Oxford and Anne. And I try at first Anne, and then I tried to use his recall word, which is Velcro, Velcro, Oxford Velcro, and he would not come to us.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Anne was not far from him. She was probably 5 or 6 feet from him, so she was there, and he was ultimately safe, but it was a scary moment for us because he would not come, and he has a good recall. And so when we got home, I, you know, called Joe immediately, and I was like, this thing happened, and in the worst, you know, in the situation that I needed his recall the most, he did not come. What is happening? And I guess I can let you take over from there, but you explained it really well to me.
So, you know, we look at those scenarios, running across the street, calling our dogs back, our dog's not coming, something very dangerous that could have happened, he didn't come. And when, if you've listened to any of the other podcasts on recall and connection, all that, come is the hardest command, if you will, to teach a dog, because it goes against the grain. If he turned his back on those things, they could have chased him. And he knew that. So the predator in him needed to hold ground and hold that pressure. And he was not safe enough to turn around and leave. So was he ignoring you? No. Was he not obeying? Yes, but he was keeping everybody safe. Because if he turned around and they started running, Anne could have been in danger. You guys didn't know what these little things were or what was happening. And all of a sudden there's one and then 15. So he was very aware of everything that was going on. And he made that choice to not come to you because it was not safe for him. And so having the distance control where, you know, downing Mocha, downing him there, knowing like we just got to get things safe down across the street, make sure there's no cars before we cross and get our dog or bring them back. Don't call your dog off of something that's challenging them because they're not going to listen. But if you ask them to sit or down at a distance, they will most likely comply. And then you can decide how to make things safe. But, you know, even getting around those things and calling him to you so he could come around them would have been safer than having him put his back to them to get away from them. And so we're just naturally thinking about our come as a safe thing. We're trying to keep everybody safe, but that wasn't safe for him. And he was not going to do that because it just wasn't safe. It wasn't safe for you guys. It wasn't safe for him to do that. And they know that. And I hear that a lot where, well, my dog just ignored me. One, maybe it wasn't safe for that. Or two, maybe their nose was kicked in and they're sniffing, not listening, you know? So having that distance control where you can down them, sit them, load them up on a log, where you have that control, then you know what you're going to do. What does that recall look like? Probably not going to come, but I know I can get to them. Yep. Is far more safe than having a secure recall. Because once you get them to do something like that, you're most likely going to get a come when it's safe.
Yep.
But if you don't, you're 50-50 on whether they're going to listen to you or not. So I think that the important thing with this and distance control is, you know, listen to our other podcasts with recall, but getting your dog to sit and down and to get up on something from a distance is the biggest safety thing that you have in your toolbox when you're out there on, you know, your dog being off leash, whether it's in the yard, in open, you know, unfenced areas, to out hiking and adventuring together. You can keep them safe by having the distance obedience piece to it. You start close and you gradually work away from your dog. There's a lot of techniques that we have in our targeting course and what we talk about there to get the distance control there, working on your stays and getting some distance stuff that way. There's all these exercises and techniques that you can use to work on and get that distance control. And just a little, you know, shameless plug, we have a whole course on it, on how to get it, what does it look like, different exercises in there, and putting it all together. So, you know, our courses are launched twice a year, and you can watch for those to launch, and they're on our website, dogtraining360.com, or you can subscribe, and we, in the subscription, you have all the training videos, unlimited access to those. There's no timeline or when we launch those. So you can get to us either way and learn this. Really, I think it's one of the most important things that you can teach your dog on top of the recall is getting this distance control, because you never know when you're going to need it.